Peter chapter number 2 tonight. There's no way to get to all the material that I'd like to cover, but I figure you ain't going nowhere and I ain't going nowhere, so we'll just take our time and cover all of it, all right? If you are planning on going somewhere, I reckon you're going to miss the rest of this, okay? But the rest of us, we'll be here to get it, all right? So 1 Peter chapter number 2, let's begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones," notice verse 5 with me tonight now, "ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." I like the fact that God always replaces something from the world he called you out from and replaces it with something in the new world that you're now living in Christ. We are not simply called to come out of the darkness. We are called now to walk in the light and be children of the light tonight. Verse 10, "which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." Here in the first several verses, these first 11 verses of this chapter, the Apostle Peter, under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, entitles God's people, the saved, the redeemed, by 9 different titles. If you're saved tonight, these all are titles associated with you tonight. He says, firstly, that you're lively stones. He says that you're a spiritual house. He says that you're a holy priesthood. He says you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, strangers, and pilgrims. 9 different titles that are associated with you and I as the people of God. The one that I want to focus in on for this series of thoughts that I have for you is in verse number 5, where he said that you and I that are saved are a holy priesthood. And our job as this holy priesthood in verse 5 are to offer up some things. We are to offer up, notice these two words, spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God. Now, you just can't do whatever you want, however you want, and expect God to accept it. It's got to be done God's way. We're to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God, and they go through and by Jesus Christ. So I'd like to preach a series of messages dealing with this thought about you and I being the priesthood of the believer. Our job is to offer up not literal sacrifices, even though some of our sacrifices are very much literal. But you and I aren't offering bullocks and goats and rams and lambs and turtle doves and things of that nature. But we are called to offer up spiritual sacrifices as a priest of God. So I want to preach on this thought for a few weeks, ever how many weeks the Lord will give us utterance, and we'll not get to any of the spiritual sacrifices tonight per se. We may bump some of them, but as I began to study this more and more, there was too much material to get to the first one. So you'll have to come back Thursday or next Sunday night to get to the first one. But I'm just going to give you some preliminary material about your job and my job. And this is the title for our series. We'll be preaching on this thought for the next several weeks on Sunday. Sunday nights and Thursday nights preaching on this thought, are you doing your job? Are you doing your job? I want everybody to understand something. In the New Testament church age of grace, there is no upper class or classification of a certain group of people in the body of Christ who are priests that rules over all the rest of the people. We're not like the Roman Catholic Church who have taken and stolen all the promises to Israel and now say it says that they have superseded Israel and now they have a ruling class of priests that set the tone and set the rules for everybody else. No. Listen to me, sister. Listen to me, brother and young person. If you're born again and the Holy Ghost lives inside of you, you, ma'am, you, sir, are a priest tonight. Yeah, I'm not your priest. I've counseled so many different people in the church that have come to me about different issues, and I try and always reiterate to them this. I'm not your priest. I'm not your God. I'm simply your pastor. I'm simply the person God's put in this place to preach to you the Word of God, feed to you the Word of God, and try and shepherd you in behalf of the Lord the best way that I can. But I am not your priest. You are a priest to God yourself. We have a great high priest that sits at the right hand of the throne of God and makes intercession for us. But each and every individual one of us, we believe in the individual priesthood of the believer tonight. Amen. God deals with you just like He does with me. God deals with your wife just like He does with you. God deals with your children if they're saved just like He can with you. There ain't no such thing as a junior Holy Ghost. There ain't no such thing as a hierarchy in the body of Christ. Ladies, you ought to shout the victory on this message, if for nothing else than for this. Do you realize in the Old Testament there wasn't no such thing as a female priest? In the Old Testament, you couldn't be a priest. You unqualified simply because of your gender. Only the male Levites could be priests. But here in the New Testament, Paul boldly declares in Galatians chapter 3 that there's neither Jew nor Gentile, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, but we're all one in Christ. In other words, sister, you can have just as close a walk with God as the pastor or your husband or any preacher in America's God. You can have just as close a walk with God, get just as many prayers answered, and be just as important and special to God as anybody else in the body of Christ tonight. Do you realize this? You young people ought to get a blessing out of this too, because according to the Old Testament, you couldn't even serve in the priest's office unless you was between the age of 25 to 50. You old folk in here ought to shout the victory, because you ended up aging out as you got older and couldn't fulfill the role of serving and sacrificing in the presence of God. You started serving as a Levite at 25. You had to quit when you was 50. But I got good news for all you 13, 14, 15 year old young men and young ladies. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're a priest tonight. And I got good news for all you folk that's over 50, 60, 70, 80 years old. If you're saved, you're a priest tonight. And we are called to do a spiritual job in the presence of our God in this world. Now, it's not by accident and it's not by coincidence. What Peter is doing is he is taking a illustration from the Old Testament of that literal priesthood. And there are pictures and types and shadows. All of that was a type and shadow of things that were to come. So I want to look at some of those things and show you several things about, are you doing your job? Now, these spiritual sacrifices I want to deal with, there's about five or six of them I want to deal with, but we're not going to have time tonight. We'll take them one at a time as they come. But let me look at several things about your job as a priest before we go tonight. Let me say, number one, I want us to examine the description of your job. The description of your job. Go back with me all the way to the book of Exodus. Go back with me all the way to the book of Exodus tonight. Exodus in chapter number 3. And we find that when God shows up to Moses, God begins to give the description of what He wants the job of God's people, and especially the priests, to be. Moses is going to say all of these things to Pharaoh when he shows up down in Egypt land. Watch Exodus chapter 3. God is speaking to Moses at the burning bush. And in Exodus chapter number 3, let's look at verse number 18. Exodus 3:18. God speaking to Moses and said this, "And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. And now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness." Watch what God had called them to do. Watch what God was calling them out of Egypt land to do. "That we may sacrifice to the Lord our God." The first thing that God told Moses that he was calling them out of that world and worldly system for was to go out yonder and sacrifice to His glory. Now don't forget that. I'm telling you, if you're saved tonight, when God calls you out of this world, you just read it in Peter, he said He called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. When God calls you out of this world, He does not call you out. I'm talking about tonight the description of their job. God does not call us out just so we can run around and do whatever it is we want to do. God has a specific goal. He has a specific aim. He has a specific purpose and direction for all of our lives. And I think sometimes we think, well, I'm not called to preach. I'm not called to be a missionary. I'm not called to be a Sunday school teacher. I don't sing good. And we think that because we're not called to do all of these things, that we don't have any place in the body of Christ. That's not true. Everybody in here that's saved by the grace of God, God knew you way on out yonder somewhere in eternity past. In His foreknowledge, He looked out there and saw you. And He's got a purpose. He's got a goal. He's got a direction and He has an aim for your life. And the first thing we find that God says they're supposed to do when they come out is they're supposed to be sacrificing. Now we'll say more about that here in just a minute, but suffice it to say, there's one aspect and area of the Christian life that many Christians don't want anything to do with today. I want a Christian life. I want to get called out, get free of the chains and the bondage and the slime and mortar pits of Egypt, but I don't want God to make me give nothing up. I am looking for a salvation and I am looking for a Savior that sacrifices everything for me, but I don't have to sacrifice anything for. Y'all, that's a foreign concept to the Bible tonight. If you think that God sacrificed the best heaven has to offer, the Lord Jesus Christ, on your behalf, and then in return, after you're saved, in return, He expects you not to have to sacrifice anything, but just live any old way and do any old thing you want, you've lost your mind tonight. There are sacrifices in the Christian life. That's what the whole point of the series is going to be about, doing our job. Spiritual sacrifices. Things we are to offer up to God, acceptable through Jesus Christ. We see not only the description of their job. The first description was they were to sacrifice to the Lord. The second description was they were to serve the Lord. Look at chapter 4. Watch the next thing that God tells Moses. Not only are they to sacrifice to the Lord, but they're to serve the Lord. Chapter 4, and look down at verse number 22. Chapter 4, verse 22 of Exodus. "And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son." Hey, that Bible says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. You see the pictures here all through here. It said, "Israel is my son, even my firstborn," verse 23. "And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may," what? "Serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn." What are they coming out of Egypt to do, preacher? They were saved to serve. Oh, God did not save anyone to sit. God saved everyone to serve. You say, I don't got a position in the church. I'm not talking about necessarily having a position in the church per se. I'm talking about having a position in the body of Christ where you serve God acceptably. The Bible said serving God acceptably with godly fear. I mean, do you have anything that you're serving God with? Here they're called out and they're going to walk out yonder in the wilderness. What are they going to do out there? They're going to be mocked. They're going to be ridiculed. They're going to be laughed at. Yeah, but they're out there serving God. You say, preacher, I've been called out of this world. Yeah, you're in this world just like Israel was, but you're not of this world. And you've been called out. What am I doing? You out here sacrificing and serving God till He comes to get you. there's something else they're doing. I'm talking about the description of their job. It's the description of your job. They're sacrificing. They're serving. They're celebrating. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. They're celebrating. I know celebrate begins with a C and not a S, but it sounds the same, so cut me a break, praise God. I didn't spell celebrate with an S in my outline, y'all. Trust me, it's got a C on there, praise God. Chapter 5, verse 1. Watch what it said. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go." Here's the third thing they're called to be doing. "That they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." I looked up that word feast. You know what the word feast literally means? It means a celebration. They are called to come out not just to sacrifice. They're called not just to come out to serve, but they are called to come out so that they can lift Him up and give Him glory and celebrate the fact that they've been delivered, they've been covered by the blood, and that God is taking them to a promised land. Y'all, the description of our job is exactly the same as these people. God walked down into Egypt land where we were at and couldn't get out. And God redeemed us, God bought us, and God called us out of this dark world. And even though we're in it, we're not of it. And our job description is to sacrifice, it is to serve, and it is to celebrate the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, in a dark, wicked, lost, dying world. That's your job. I'm curious, are you doing your job? That's what they were called out to do. That's what you and I are called out to do tonight. We are called out, you say, but we're going to look weird. We're going to look crazy. Did you not just read what I just read in 1 Peter chapter number 2? We're a peculiar people. We're strangers. We're pilgrims. Strangers. You know, man, what? That's, you know, we're strangers. Strange. Man, people walk in here sometimes. And they walk in, and as soon as they do, the celebration starts. And they start looking, and they're like, man, that's a little bit strange. It should be. Mark this down. If lost people can walk into the midst of one of our worship services and it not be just a little bit odd and strange to them, I don't believe we're probably doing something right. If I got anything against this modern contemporary church, it's the fact that they try and make lost people feel comfortable in the worship service. Listen, I've told you before and I'll tell you it again. I want everybody to feel welcome, but I don't want everybody to feel comfortable. I don't care where you come from, and I don't care how messed up you are, and I don't care what you've been involved in. I'll welcome you. I'll shake your hand. I'll hug your neck and tell you I'm glad you're here and do it with a sincere heart. I want you to be welcome, but I don't want you to be comfortable if you lost without God. I want you to feel uncomfortable. I want you to be like, man, these people are strange. These people are peculiar. These people are different. Something different about these people than what I got going on in my life. Yeah, it's supposed to be that way. We see not only the description of their job. Let's move on. We don't want to see the description of their job. Let me move on. We see the dedication of their job. Look how dedicated these priests are in the Old Testament. Go to Numbers chapter 8, y'all. While you're going to Numbers chapter 8, let me say this. If these Old Testament priests, please don't miss what I'm about to say in the context of this dedication to their job, living for God. If these Old Testament priests, Brother Doug, are this dedicated to a dead letter system. Well, you say, what do you mean dead letter? I mean, the Bible says the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. They didn't have no Spirit. They didn't have an indwelling Holy Ghost. They didn't have a crucified, risen Savior. They didn't have a new Jerusalem that they're going to. They was going to paradise in the heart of the earth. Brother, they didn't have the things that you and I are advantaged and afforded. And if they can serve God with great dedication, how much more should you and I that are spiritual priests in a royal family, been covered by the blood, serve God with great dedication tonight? Watch in their dedication, we see several things. Chapter 8 is is when they're bringing the Levites in front of the tabernacle. The first thing we see about their dedication is their consecration. Their consecration. They're consecrating them to the Lord in this text. Even though, this is interesting to me, even though the Levites had family, they had houses, they had lands, nothing took higher precedence to them than serving God. Read chapter 8, verse 13. Watch verse 13 here. Watch this dedication. Chapter 8, verse 13. Thou shalt set the Levites before Aaron and before his sons and offer them for an offering unto the Lord. We'll get to that in Romans 12 down the road somewhere in one of our studies, but you're to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Did you notice that? He offered them for an offering before the Lord. Verse 14. Thus shalt thou separate the Levites from among the children of Israel. They couldn't be like everybody else. And the Levites shall be mine. And after that shall the Levites go in to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt cleanse them and offer them for an offering. For they are, watch their consecration, watch this word, holy given. Remember this morning us preaching in Acts 17? And Paul said he was grieved in spirit, he was stirred in the spirit, Brother Bill, because he saw the city was wholly given to idolatry. In other words, in their whole heart, whole mind, they were wholly given over to idolatry. These guys are the same way, but they're wholly given into the service of the Lord. They were wholly given unto me from among the children of Israel, instead of such as open every womb, even instead of the firstborn of all the children of Israel, have I taken unto me. Come on down to verse number 19. Verse 19, and I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and to his sons from among the children of Israel to do the service of the children of Israel in the tabernacle of the congregation and to make an atonement for the children of Israel. Part of their job description is they're trying to get people to God and get their sins atoned for. Y'all, that's part of our job. We're trying to get people to Christ. We beseech you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. That there be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come nigh unto the sanctuary. Come on down to verse 21. And the Levites, I'm talking about dedication, man. Look at the dedication and their consecration. The Levites were purified. They washed their clothes and Aaron offered them as an offering before the Lord. And Aaron made an atonement for them to cleanse them. And after that went the Levites in to do their service in the tabernacle of the congregation before Aaron and before his sons. As the Lord had commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so did they unto them. Here I find you take your own time, and I know Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, they are high on your least favorite Bible reading. I understand that tonight. I know sometimes it can get boring as mud, but you know what you find when you read those books? What you find is the Levites, they got houses. They were able to get married. They had children. They had lives. They had cattle. They had lands. But mark this down, nothing in their sphere and nothing in their world took a higher precedent in their life than being consecrated to do the work of God. And you and I are priests to God. Listen to me. You don't got a day off in this job. I'll never forget. I've told you this maybe in Sunday school before. But I'll never forget one time my brother, we were on vacation somewhere together in Florida. And my brother likes to golf. And he went off golfing one day. I wasn't going because I'm saved. Amen. And I don't believe you can lose your salvation. But if you could, that's a good way to lose it right there. I promise you that. Amen. And Chad went off golfing. And I remember Brother Randy, he come back. He said, y'all won't never believe what happened on the golf course. Said what? He said, I got paired up with these two or three fellas on the golf course. Two, three, four fellas. And he said, turns out they're all Methodist preachers. And he thought, well, hey, I'm going to have some good Christian fellowship today. You know, he said, I introduced myself, kind of started talking to them, and they told me they was preachers, and I told them, you know, I was saved and go to church and all that. And they started talking, and they got around there, and they was golfing. And Brother Archie, they went, you know, 7 or 8, 9 holes, and about that time, the beer cart pulled around. And when the beer cart pulled around, all them fellas, you know, Chad said, I just take a Coke or water or something like that. And all them fellas got on Michelob or a Coors Light and things like that and busted out their cigars. I mean, y'all still know that's wrong for a child of God to do, right? I mean, y'all still know that ain't the way a child of God ought to be living in this world. Yeah. Anyways, and they started drinking, you know, and puffing on their stogies and all that. And they looked at him and they said, you know, we're all preachers, said, but we all like to come get away every once in a while and get away from our congregations. And we just like to let our hair down a little bit. Y'all listen to me. There ain't no let your hair down as a child of God. If you're a priest at church, you're a priest at home. And if you're a priest at home, you're a priest on your job. And if you're a priest on your job, you're a priest on vacation. And say, but I'm not a preacher. I'm trying to get you to understand something, sister. It ain't got nothing to do with you being a preacher. It's got to do with you being a priest. And there ain't no days off in this thing. You say, why? Because when we get to these spiritual sacrifices, we ain't got there yet, and we ain't going to get there tonight because it's 7:15, and I'd keep you here till 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock. I ain't going to do you like Paul did to that crowd over in Acts. We'd have Eutychuses all over the place. They'd have fallen out left and right. I can't raise you from the dead like Paul did, so you'd just have to die. Anyway. You want to know why there ain't no days off, why we got to be consecrated in this dedication? Because when we get to these spiritual sacrifices, listen to me, you don't never know at what instant you'll be called upon to offer one. And as a matter of fact, when we read about these sacrifices, don't miss this. I don't want to get ahead of myself for other messages. But Brother Travis, when we start dealing with these sacrifices, Brother Kent, these are not sacrifices that should only be offered on Sunday. These are daily sacrifices that every child of God should make every single day of their life. You are called to do it daily. So we see the dedication of their consecration. I got hurt. We see also the dedication of their cleanness. Their cleanness. Look at chapter 8 of Numbers. What's the cleanness of these guys? Chapter 8, verse 7. Chapter 8, verse 6. Take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them. Verse 7. Thus shalt thou do unto them, to cleanse them. Sprinkle water of purifying upon them. Let them shave all their flesh and let them wash their clothes. So make themselves clean. Verse 15 says that they are to be cleansed. Verse 21 says that they are to wash themselves and be cleansed again. Y'all listen to me. These folk was called to be a clean people. If you're going to be offering up sacrifices to God as a Levite, you had to be clean. Now I'm telling you, if we're going to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God that are acceptable to God, we got to be clean. And that ain't got a thing in the world to do with the condition of if your hands are greasy or if your body is sweaty. It ain't like these priests. These priests, they couldn't even wear clothes that made their body sweat. They couldn't even do anything if they didn't have clean hands, physically. That's not what God's looking for today. God's looking for a clean mind and a clean mouth and a clean heart and feet that are clean, not on the outside but the inside. God's looking for clean eyes. God's looking for cleanness in children of God's lives. Amen. They were morally clean. They were mentally clean. Their speech was clean. Their conduct was clean. You know what gives church a bad name and God's people a bad name? A whole bunch of so-called Christians who are supposed to be priests not living clean. It was no different in this day. Brother David, y'all watch what I'm fixing to show you. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 2. Watch this. It was no different in this day. Watch 1 Samuel chapter 2. These are the sons of Eli. The sons of Eli. Here in 1 Samuel chapter 2, in the days of a young Samuel. And watch 1 Samuel chapter 2. These guys are priests. Watch what happens here. Don't miss this now. 1 Samuel 2:12. I'm going to wait till the pages stop ruffling. I want everybody to see this. 1 Samuel 2:12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. That's the devil. They knew not the Lord. Come down to verse 17. Watch this. Verse 17, chapter 2. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. Watch what it caused people to do. Don't miss this. Because these priests were not living correctly, watch what it caused people to do. For men abhorred the offering of the Lord. In other words, they didn't even want to come to the door of the house of God. That's where the offering was, Brother Joe. They didn't even want to come to the house of God. Why? Because there was a bunch of hypocrite priests who wasn't living clean. You know what people started saying? Why do I need to go down there? The priest's living just as wicked as I am, maybe worse. Why do I want to go down there and worship God? God forbid that your life of uncleanness while you are naming the name of Christ would keep people from wanting to come to the house of God to hear the preaching of the Word of God. God forbid. I have literally known people before. Not necessarily that I can remember at this church, but in other places of churches I've been a part of or been to, that it was a big joke when you would invite them to church and they'd say, "Does so-and-so go to church down there?" "Oh yeah, they're there all the time." And they'd say, "I ain't going down there then." Why? Because their testimony was shot full of holes. Y'all, we try our best to maintain a standard at Bible Missionary Baptist Church of cleanness. We try our best. And I'm telling you, it's a God-blessed shame that a sinner or anybody else otherwise would walk into the service and sit down and look up here on the platform and either the man in the pulpit or the men sitting on the platform or the folk playing the instruments or the people singing in the choir or the people getting up and leading and singing or the folk taking up an offering or the people running the live stream or the security detail or any other position we have in this church. It'd be a God-blessed shame for people to look and say, "My God, they was in the bar last night. I've seen them drinking liquor last night. My God, they fornicate on the weekend. Lord God, have you seen their social media page and the garbage they post?" That would be an absolute shame. Watch what they were doing. Watch verse 22. Watch what they were doing. Watch what they were doing. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. What I read in Numbers chapter 8 is these fellows were supposed to be dedicated in their cleanness, Brother Mikey. But here we find these guys have absolutely no dedication to their cleanness. They're living in open fornication. They are laying with the women that come to the house of God to worship. Y'all, I want y'all to know something. I am a man, flesh and blood, like any of the rest of y'all, and I put my britches on one leg at a time just like you. And I ain't painting no target on my back because there's been a whole lot better men than me get messed up in that kind of sin while trying to serve God. And it ain't just preachers, it's church members and it's every other. But I'm telling you, brother, God forbid that we get to the place to where we just accept and condone, "Well, that's just the way it is. Sweep it under the rug. No big deal." No, it is a big deal. And it puts a tarnish and a stain on the work of God. Talking about being clean. I'll tell you what bothers me, Brother David Fields. Here's what bothers me. Is that secular places of business run by lost people have higher standards than the Church of Jesus Christ. You say, "I don't believe that." I'll read it to you. There's a young man here tonight works at Chick-fil-A. Several of our young men work at Chick-fil-A. One of them sent me this to, I was talking to him one day, and somehow it come up about, he said, all the rules about working for Chick-fil-A. We're talking about Chick-fil-A, y'all. I mean, I thank God they ain't open on Sunday, but y'all realize they ain't the Church of Jesus Christ. It don't say Christ died for the Chick-fil-A and gave himself for it. I mean, it's the gospel bird, and it's wonderful and all that. But I mean, come on now. Jesus didn't die for Chick-fil-A. Listen. This is what he shared with me that they required of him. They said this, verbatim. This is from Chick-fil-A. "You cannot share inappropriate content on social media. All applies. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Be Real, Twitter, Second Mile, Service States. Act outside of work as you would inside of work." "Hairstyles are highly regulated, and generally no fun hairstyles are allowed. Employees have to hide their tattoos. Unnatural hair dye is not permitted for Chick-fil-A employees. Integrity. Remember, a good name is greater than riches and gold." They're even quoting Bible. "Please behave like a customer service professional at all times. This includes when you are not on the clock." I'm talking about Chick-fil-A, y'all. Here's what bothers me too. Can I just pause? Here's what bothers me. There are Christian people that will gladly submit themselves to rules like that at work and then get ticked off when we have a standard at the church. What is wrong with you? What is wrong? That, oh, we don't mind having a dress code and a standard and all that when we go work for Chick-fil-A or the doctor's office or wherever else, but we don't want one at the church. Are you insane? You can say amen or not, I couldn't care less. Perception is reality in life. Use professional language. This, listen to this. This includes, good gracious, I'm reading Chick-fil-A, Brother Skip. This ain't Bible, this is Chick-fil-A. And I messed up my spot here. Oh, use professional language. This includes the music we listen to in and outside of work. They regulating the music you can listen to. Chick-fil-A are the biggest bunch of Pharisees that I've ever met in my life. They are the biggest bunch of legalist Pharisees. I wouldn't work for them if I was you. Right? Ain't that what they call people that's got standards? Legalists and Pharisees? I'd never eat another bite of chicken from them again if I was you, bunch of legalist Pharisees. I'm reading to you Chick-fil-A. This includes the music we listen to. No cursing. No inappropriate conversations. If you can't include nearby guests in your conversation, it's not appropriate. We're a culture of love, humility, excellence. We celebrate as a team. We're responsible for the culture we create, so on and so forth. Cell phones, not to be seen while at work.
Yes, sir.
While I'm reading this off my cell phone. Attendance. They even got requirements for your attendance.
That's right.
Attendance.
Yeah.
If you can't work your shift, you must call the TLIC, whatever that, what's the TLIC?
I don't know what that's.
Team lead? Okay. TLIC directly, at least 2 hours ahead of time, it's your responsibility. You must find a suitable replacement. If you no call, no show, it will be assumed you voluntarily quit. I mean, I'm just saying these guys were dedicated in their cleanness. What has happened to us as priests of God where we are trying to live as close to the edge instead of let's just get as clean as we can because we bear the name of Christ? I'm done. We see the dedication to their consecration, dedication to their cleanness, dedicated in the commandments. You realize whose job it was to keep the scripture, right? It was the priests. They were the ones, it was their job to make sure it stayed pure and stayed clean, and they gave it to others. Man, we should stay dedicated to the Word of God. Y'all realize what I'm doing, right? I'm preaching the Bible. We went from 1 Peter to Exodus to Numbers to 1 Samuel. We try and preach the Bible. Why? Because that's what we're supposed to be dedicated to. Are you doing your job? You doing your job? I mean, anyways. Lastly, I'm done. We see not only there was the description of the job, the dedication to their job, and lastly, we find that there was dereliction in their job. Dereliction. They were derelict in their duties. Go with me to Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22, and this will we'll try and somewhere around here get closed. Maybe we read one more verse and let you go. Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22, you know the verse that's in this chapter. It's verse 30. This is the famous verse. Watch verse 30. And we're going to read verse 30 and then go backwards up the text. Ezekiel 22, I'm talking about they were derelict in their job. Ezekiel 22:30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Couldn't find a man. Now look where he looks for the man at. Brother Garrett, y'all watch where he looks for the man at. Look where he looks for the man at. Back up to verse 29, look at the first two words. He looked among the people. But before he looked among the people, Back up to verse 28. Look at the first three words. And her prophets. But before he looked among the prophets, look at the first two words of verse 27. Her princes. But before he looked among the princes, the prophets, or the people, for one guy to hold a standard up, this is where he started, verse 26. Her priests have violated my law, have profaned my holy things. They put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my... They closed their eyes to the truth. Hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. You see who he starts with. He doesn't start with the princes. Y'all listen to me. When God starts in a country looking for righteousness and holiness and somebody to do right, he does not start with the princes, a.k.a. the politicians or the presidents. He doesn't start at the White House. That's not where he starts. That's verse 27. He doesn't even start with the prophets. That's verse 28. The last group that he even looks through is just the people. But I'll tell you who he looks through first. He looks through verse 26. He looks to those people that are supposed to be dedicated, that are supposed to be sacrificing, serving, celebrating, those people that are supposed to be consecrated, clean, living after the commandments. Those are the people he looks at first. And y'all listen to me. As goes the church, so goes the homes, and so goes the nations. I used to always hear this, as goes the home, so goes the church, so goes the nation. I'm not sure I believe that anymore. I believe what keeps the home straight a lot of times is a red hot, gun barrel straight, Bible believing, Bible preaching church. Amen. Amen. Because I know as well in my own life, we're so prone to wander and prone to, you know what we need? We need an assembly like this, or when we come in, we can hear some preaching and get around God's people and hear some singing, and all of a sudden realize, you know what? I've been doing at the house ain't right. I'm going to fix that at the house. You know where I put the onus on as to why our country's all messed up in our homes? It's us as priests. We've ceased to do the job that God has called us to do. And this is where we're at. I want to give you this concluding thought. This is where we're at. We think, even as Christians, we think there ain't no fun or no joy in those things you've been preaching to us tonight, preacher. Right? I mean, because what we've been preaching tonight, Brother Jack, there ain't no fun in that. Literally just saw a church up in Statesville. It's supposed to be an independent Baptist church, Brother Chad. And this is their slogan. Their slogan is, gospel-centered, Bible-based, spirit-welcome. But the last thing they say is this. This is the last two words. Fun required. What does that even mean? Fun. Fun required. We all got Bozo the Clown coming in on Sundays. Fun required. What is that? We're not called to put on a show for you so we can come and have fun. I tell you where a child of God finds joy and finds fun at, when they're doing what they're supposed to do, living for God. Remember the message I just preached for you here a little while back on how to have genuine joy? They only found genuine joy when they repented and started living according to the Bible. So, Brother Roger, we think to ourselves, preacher, what you preach to us tonight, there just ain't no joy or fun in it. That's why I'm not going to do my job as a priest. But watch when the priests do their job correctly. We'll show you these verses and we're going to close here. Go to 2 Chronicles with me. 2 Chronicles 23. 2 Chronicles 23. Watch these priests. Yes, there is joy in serving Jesus. Yes, there is joy in living that dedicated life, in living that sacrificing, serving, celebrating life, in living that clean, consecrated life. There is joy in it! You better believe there is. I'm having the time of my life, friend. 2 Chronicles 23, and watch verse 18. Chapter 23, verse 18 of 2 Chronicles. Also, Jehoiada appointed the offices of the house of the Lord by the hand of the priests, the Levites, whom David had distributed in the house of the Lord to offer the burnt offerings of the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses. Watch what these priests are doing. With rejoicing and with singing, as it was ordained by David. Looks like they're having a good time to me. Look at chapter 30. Look at chapter 30 and verse 21. Chapter 30, verse 21 of the same book. This is our last reference for tonight. I promise this is it. Chapter 30, verse 21. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. And the priests, and the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. Looks to me like living that clean, consecrated, sacrificing, serving, separated life. Looks to me like it's bringing all kind of joy to me. You want to know why people ain't finding joy in it? They ain't doing it right. And I just say tonight, that book said we are called to be a royal priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And so I'm just curious. This was, you know what tonight's message was? It was total introduction to the series we're going to preach on what the spiritual sacrifices are. You start studying them. Look the spiritual sacrifices up. You'll already know where we're going. So I just want to ask you, are you doing your job? I'm called to be a priest. I want to make sure I'm doing my job. I don't want to stand before the Lord and Him say, I gave you a job to do. And I ain't just talking about pastor and Bible missionary. I'm talking about being a Christian and being a priest before the Lord. Sister, are you accomplishing your job? We're not going to give invitation tonight. We're going to close in a word of prayer right there. And we'll let you just pray over that in your pew right where you are. And we'll dismiss tonight. Okay, let's pray. Our Father, Lord, we love you. I want to make sure I'm doing my job. Lord, I fall so short, come short of what I should be doing a lot of times, and I'm sorry for that. Lord, I pray tonight you'd help all of us to go out of here with a renewed desire to be that spiritual priest that you've called us to be. Every sister, every brother, every young man and young lady that's saved by God's grace to go live that consecrated life, that clean life, that life that is constantly sacrificing to you and serving you and wanting to walk with you and celebrate you. Help us, Lord, to do that. Not live that life that we're derelict in our duties, but every day serve you, Lord, like you want. God bless your church. Thank you for this group of people. I love a group of people that loves the truth, and this is a group that loves it, and I appreciate it. Bless them for it. Reward them for it. Keep them this week. Watch over and protect them. Wherever they're at in their places of business and their homes, help them, God, to be that priest you've called them to be. God, till we come back Thursday night at the next appointed time, I pray you'd bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.